It is only the fazl, the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that He brings us to His house, creates a desire in our hearts for deen, creates an eagerness for us to progress. How much we thank Him, we cannot thank Him sufficiently for the moments, for the time, for the eagerness, for the mind to be tuned in this direction. Then you can't think of a favor and a blessing as great as this. Because this is what we are for. It's just one chance you have in your lifetime and never to be repeated. Those that are gone, chance is over. Innings are over. So you have got this chance, then to make the best of it. Then the question is then, what should you do to make the best of it? So I've been thinking about this. I was reading an article about someone sees an alim and that alim is not right, so how should he take it? Correcting him is secondary, but correcting yourself is primary. That's the basic thing. He must correct himself, but that's the secondary thing. But your correction is primary. So sometimes what happens, shaitan distracts us. Alright, you're bad, but that person is worse. So the moment you thought like that, then what concern you had for your akhirat, that concern is gone. And the fortunate person is the one, say, alright, whatever he's doing, but what about my qabr, my akhirat, my hereafter, what must I do? So that's the person that is fortunate, that's the person that Allah Pak will like and appreciate, that his greater concern is himself. So for some reason, sometimes now I'm thinking about these things. Mind is occupied and the article is claiming now. So in this physical realm, then you don't get things coming straight. You want money, you want to make wealth, then it doesn't just pour from the heavens. Then there are procedures and Allah Ta'ala blesses you. Business, profession, work, you do something, and then Allah Ta'ala opens up wealth for you. Right. So, in this realm also, the spiritual realm also, there are procedures. Like in the material realm, there are procedures, follow the procedures, Allah Ta'ala opens up for you. And you waste those opportunities, or you don't follow the procedure, then you're wasting your life. You're wasting your time. Just imagine, it's a business that's running, right? But the business has got absolutely no checks and balances. For the business to run, you need a check and a balance, right? It means all those points where you are checking. Nobody's stealing, how's the cash flow, what's received, what's going out. So imagine there's absolutely no check and balance. I ask you, can the business run? It's a fail, total fail. One day segment close. Why? There's no check and balance. So there must be a check and a balance. And the check and the balance must be in accordance to the business that you are doing, whatever type of business you are doing, that you must have a check and a balance accordingly. Even in a madrasa, right, you need to have some checks and balances. Now imagine if an ustad comes to teach hifz, right, and he says, learn your sabak, right, and he's gone, he's sleeping, he's not listening to the sabak, not to the sabak door, not to their door. Can the child become a hafiz? So after he's instructed them, he has to be on the case. That's called the check and the balance, on the his class, the kitab is the same, that you have to be on the check and the balance, then you'll see some results at the end of the month, end of the term, end of the year. And no check and no balance. So according to the type of work that is embarked upon, then there must be some check and some balance. Now, we're not talking of a business, we're not talking of something academic. We're talking now of the spiritual realm. I showed you how the business runs, how the academic runs. Now, this is a totally different realm, that is a spiritual realm. Call it the soul, call it whatever. Now, this is like the essence of everything. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi says, La a'adilu bil fakhri shay'an. Fakhr means tasawuf. Right? So I don't regard anything to be equal to tasawuf. This line that will lead you to Allah Ta'ala, that nothing is at its level. La a'adilu bil fakhri shay'an. Then he says after that, I was surprised to see this statement here. He says, لو وجدت سبيلا لخرجت لو وجدت طريق لو وجدت سبيلا لخرجت حتى لا يكون لي ذكري. It says, if I found a way, you know, found a way, would have gone until I was a forgotten thing. Nobody ever spoke about me. Nobody. Now that's what we see fana. So I would have gone total oblivion, but nobody speaks about me. So I and me or zikrayar, me and the remembrance of the beloved, nothing else. Now what surprised me is that these are the exact statements that our awliya are saying, our Buzuganadin, Ulama of Tiyubat, these were the same exactly. Al-Mu'al Qasim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, that is the founder of Darul Deoband, was a genius of his time. Say, we talk of Imam Ghazali, look at Imam Al-Mu'al's kitabs, and look at Imam Ghazali's kitabs, no comparison. The level is so high. So, he says exactly the same thing, what he says, that agar یہ مولوی کا دھبا میرے نام کے ساتھ لگا ہوا نہ ہوتا میں ایسا غائب ہو جاتا کہ قاسم نام کا کوئی آدمی دنیا میں نہیں ہوتا. It's just a title that I've earned, right? If it was not for this title, then I would have been totally, I would have gone, disappeared. They wouldn't have known that there's a man called Qasim. So when you in that level of love and that muhabbat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you just want to be with Allah ta'ala. But everything else doesn't mean anything. Not the wealth, not the food, not the luxury, not people, not audience, absolutely nothing. It is just you and Allah ta'ala. So you want to have that type of a relationship, that there's nothing now, nothing coming in between. The closest I can think of, you know, to bring it to your level of understanding, is, say, man who led a very chaste life, whole life of chastity, nothing impure. And he had to be in seclusion with his bride for the first time. Will he want any type of interruption? From any person, whether be his ustad, or his parents, or his student, or child, or whatever. Will he want anything? You just want him and his bride. So this is the closest I can think of. But obviously the love of Allah is something else. That you have to be in it to be able to appreciate it. And if you haven't tasted it, then just follow. Until one day Allah gives you some taste of it as well. So this is the words of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi, who is the ustad of Imam Bukhari sahab, Imam Abu Dawud sahab, Imam Tirmidhi sahab, Imam Muslim sahab, all the ustad. So on the one side he's a muhaddis to the level of perfection, then he's an imam of fiqh. Very seldom you find that the man is an imam in both. He's a muhaddis also and he's an imam in fiqh. It's got a whole school running behind him. Now these are the statements coming from him. So they used to ask him that you go to Haris, Bishr Haris, right? Or they say Bishr Hafi. But he is not as learned as yourself, but then what pushes you and prompts you to be with him? He doesn't have that knowledge. He is educated as well, but not at your level. But then what pushes you to go to Bishr Rahmatullah Ali? So he says, you see, what happened, the difference between me and Bishr was a difference. We learned the name of Allah Ta'ala. We got the name of Allah Ta'ala. He's what Allah Ta'ala. Is there a difference or not? Like say, you spoke about Tex chocolate, right? So you speak about it. But you never taste it. This person doesn't speak about it so much, but he's got the taste of it. Is there a difference or not? He just knows the name. And he knows the substance. Is there a difference? So Bishr, myself and Bishr, that he's got it. And we got the name. So therefore we have to go with him so that we also get what he's got. So they keep on trying. One day it becomes a reality. So this is such a thing that you can't give up. They say, Yabam or Nayabam, Dustajua Mikunam. Whether this pursuing of love, pure love of Allah Ta'ala, is such a thing. Whether I find it or I don't find it, I will carry on until I die. I will carry on. I will never give up. What happens to people is, they're waiting to get some type of an experience. Now, that experience, they will confirm their love. So don't wait for an experience. The fact that Allah is calling you to his house, the fact that he is allowing you to take his name, the fact that you are following the sunnah, that means Allah loves you. But you want the love to come to a certain level. So you can't demand that. That's a pure fazl of Allah Ta'ala. You want a certain level. So you keep trying. And you keep trying, one day you'll get there. You're practicing archery. So you keep trying. One day you get the bullseye, right? As you know, I try 50 times not getting it. By the time 51st time, you may just get it right. One person was advising his friend, you were taking drugs and all that. Hey, what's wrong with you? Until one day he's thinking about it, that I've been explaining this person for 99 times now. 9 times. He pulled out his diary, he's counting. First time, second time, third time. 99th time, I kept on advising him. And he was coming right. Now, I'm not going to advise him any longer. So he just blurted this word. So one old experienced person was around. So that person is standing by. This person didn't give up and didn't kick up his wrong habit, right? Though you had advised him over and over again, he didn't give up his wrong. Why are you giving up your good? He didn't give up his wrong. In spite of you advising him over and over again. So why do you give up your good? That must carry on. He said, hey, really something to think. I'll try. So I'll try forever. Then he tried for the 100th time and he got it right. Man just left it. See this trying. Allah Pak likes that. The old Tabligh Jamaat people were like that, right? They go for Gush one time, second time, third time. They'll go 20th time, 60th time they'll go. But eventually they'll get the person out of the house. They'll get him somehow. Somehow. So this trying, Allah Pak doesn't want you to stop it. Go on trying. You don't know. Maybe it's the last moment and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala may just strike at that time. And you just get it. So now, There are certain procedures for this. For this love to come in, special love, right? There are certain procedures. Like you see, you are in i'tikaf. So the i'tikaf requirements are similar to the hanukkah requirements. Like you don't talk unnecessarily. You don't beat up unnecessarily. You don't become informal unnecessarily. If there's a need, nobody says that you can't meet and talk. There's a genuine need. But without the need, just do your work. Because you're building up a rapport with Allah Ta'ala. You're building up a connection with Allah Ta'ala. Then this requires no interruption. It doesn't require any interruption. This requires your whole mental focus. Now, in your mind is, now I need to read this kitab here, and then you talk to this person here, and this person here, did he come or hasn't he come? And after my namaz, I'll discuss this with this person. So I ask you, your focus is there. The focus isn't there. The focus just being, it's been Allah Ta'ala. Al-qalbu la yatawajjahu ila shay'in fi ahli ma'ad. The mind can't go into two directions at one and the same time. See, you go in one thing, but you want it to go into two directions simultaneously, completely. It doesn't happen. It takes one and then the second. You know, when you're eating, you can't stuff your mouth with 20 things at the same time. You took samosa, then you took big beans, then you took ice cream, then you took kachumar, then you took half moon, then you took one chops. You can stuff everything one time. One thing at a time. The mouth has got a capacity. Just work with it, you'll go well. Otherwise you'll choke yourself, you'll hurt yourself. So the same, that's how the mind works. When the mind works, that not put your mind, I don't want any interaction between me and Allah Ta'ala. I don't want anything. When we're in school, they should teach us Abu bin Adam, right? It was Ibrahim ibn Adham. So there was a poetry, I can remember in grade 3 or 4 or something, but there was a poetry about Ibrahim ibn Adham. So he was the king of Balkh. So he sees some fiddler on the roof. Midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, someone is fiddling on the roof. So he got up, disturbed. Who is that? What are you doing there? So he said, no, I'm looking for my camel. I lost my camel. I'm looking up there on the roof for my camel. So Ibrahim bin Adham is a king of Balkh, right? That time, Balkh was very wealthy, very, very wealthy. All, on top of any raw mineral, you know, this precious mineral, all was found there. Very thriving market, very wealthy. He's living on gold, minerals, you know, pure, precious minerals. So, when he heard the sound, so he asked, I'm looking for my camel. So he says, hey, what's wrong with you? You're feeling right. Is that the place to look for your camel? So the person on the roof says, but even more strange is the person that is in this palace and he says that he wants to meet up with Allah Ta'ala. And so remain in all his comforts, all his luxuries, and in that he wants to meet Allah Ta'ala. How can it happen? If you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's a procedure. And you want with all his attendants and all whatever else, and you want the pure love of Allah ta'ala. It can't happen. So, he was pining for this. See, it's the grace of Allah ta'ala. When he wants to escalate, he wants to put you up, then he will put that chip into you. The chip of love. And then the chip of love then activates you. Do something. So it's a chip that's inserted into you, and then when that's inserted, then it activates you to do something. So it didn't come just off like that. No, Allah put something in the heart. And when he put that into the heart, now that this activates you and you want to do something. Now from this point, this is a dangerous point. See, when Allah favored you, he put the chip of love, the love chip put inside. Now for you is to follow the procedure. So Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullahi, now he's got that love, now he's looking out. Now he is a contemporary of Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi. So you can say he's like the Tabi'i Tabi'in at that zaman. So he saw the prime time of Islam, that's the time he saw. Now, just one story, small story, right? So he left the whole kingdom of Balkh. Then some of the ministers came in. See what's happening to the kingdom. Everything is going down, the doldrums. Nobody can run this thing like how you ran the thing. For Allah Pak's sake, you come back and take hold of the administration. At that time, Ibrahim bin Adham was patching his shawl. There was a turd and he was patching it on the riverbank. So that minister is telling him, there was a time where there were 500, literally 500 attendants, your personal attendants, attending to you. And now you don't even have anybody to patch your own clothing. At that time you had 500 people attending to you. Now your own clothing, you don't have anybody to patch up your own clothing. So was that better or this life is better? So Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi didn't answer him. What he did was, he had his needle and he just threw it into the river. And he asked for them, hey, I need my needle. Now there are thousands of fishes that had golden needles popping there, take mine, take me, take me, take me. Hey, get out, I want my needle. Until one brought up his needle. The minister asked again, but what stops you? Tell me what stops you. He says, you see, I came across the verse of the Quran, فَرِيكٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيكٌ فِي السَّيِّرِ. Allah Ta'ala, He is loving, He is compassionate, right? But He is independent as well. As He is loving, compassionate, and kind, but He is independent, He doesn't need us. And He is saying that on that day, there will be one Jama'at dispatched to Jahannam. Allah Pak save us. And one Jama'at dispatched to Jannah. So I don't know which Jama'at I belong to. But this is the thing that is consuming me. This concern, this fikr, that where I'm going to be dispatched, this side or that side, where I'm going to be. So if you can absolve me of this concern, I don't mind coming. The minister says, now, you struck me with such an arrow that I'm also struck now. I don't want to go back as well. That I am in the same plight as yourself. I don't know where I belong to, Jannat or Jahannam. So, there is a certain procedure. In the spiritual realm, what I understood, what I've seen, is inqiyad. What? In the words of the Muhtani Sahib Rahmatullahi, inqiyad. I'tiqad and inqiyad. So you want to progress. So there's procedures, right? Like, you are in a madrasa and you want to progress. So they will tell you, you must do three things. See that you do your work. Attend the classes. You do the mutala of the work. And you do the takrar. Doing that, inshallah, at the end of the term, you will be in a good position. So they'll give you some tips, how you must go. If you follow that, you don't feel any remorse at the end. But you follow the guideline that the ustad has given, you won't become too stressed up, and nor will you feel any remorse at the end. You find out there's a direction, I'm seeing something now. Before I didn't know one word of Arabic, now I understand the sentence, construction, I can do it myself. Now I'm getting some understanding. So that student had to follow a procedure to see this day. So now here as well, it's part of love, right? So when you want to see that love, then there is a procedure that you have to follow. And that procedure, Mullah has summed it up in two things. Inqiyad and i'tiqad. The trust now, the trust and the confidence is never shattered. It's so strong that you know, you don't want to think otherwise. There's so much of trust. Like how when there's a marital reunion, right? You don't want to think ever that the wife is being dishonest. You don't want to think like that. Because you know, if you want to think like that, then this house will be in a shambles just now. You don't want to talk about it, you don't want to think about it. It's possible that she got involved. It's possible. Allah Pak knows that. But your mind doesn't want to go there. If you know, if you start it off, your mind is going to go there, this thing will be like a Jahannam just now. So, the first thing is an i'tiqad, the trust, the confidence. Then when there is that level of confidence, then what does that confidence do to the person? So you've got the level of confidence. Then what does the confidence do to the person? Then there's no questions asked. If he said something that the mind agrees or doesn't agree, reasoning agrees or doesn't agree, you're not going to go with your reason, you're going to go with him. One is what my reasoning tells me, and one is what he's telling me. As long as it's not haram, right, I'm not going to go with my reasoning. Now, I have jumped a plane, right? I've jumped into an aeroplane, right? I can't use my own brains. Now, if I'm going to use my own brains, say, you know, leave the doors open, you know, or leave the windows open, is that going to work? Hey, but in my motor car, and I leave the doors open, everything is alright, so what's wrong with this now? But just keep quiet, sit in your place, and behave yourself. That hostess or someone will come, say, behave yourself. Won't they say that? And if you misbehave again, they'll blacklist you, perhaps they won't take you on the plane again. Right? You keep misbehaving. So, some things will be agreeable to you, some things will not be agreeable. But just keep quiet throughout the duration of this journey, just keep quiet. Listen with confidence, with deep trust, in qiyad and i'tiqad. Follow. So this happens in anything that you're doing. This is what's the requirement. And some things seem to be agreeable, some don't seem to be agreeable. And with all these things that are agreeable or not agreeable, you just have to follow suit. You come to the hospital and the doctor says that you need a major surgery, right? And then he says for 3-4 days you're not going to eat any solid. Hey, you're not going to eat any solid. This will happen to me. I can't live that. I must take something. Take a banana or apple or something. Something must take. Doctor, you can't. Now, your brain is saying, telling you that for you to sustain yourself, you need to eat. And the doctor is saying, don't take anything. And you're going to listen to yourself on that. You're going to leave your reasoning aside. And based on the man's experience, you say, no, what you say, I'm just going to go by that. Because you know how valuable your life is to yourself. So this path here now, there isn't anything as valuable as this. Because this is connecting you to the highest of the high. You can't think of anything above this. So when it's connecting you to the highest of the high, now what level of refinement and what level of emulation is required? What level of trust is required? Here, the doctor, you're going to pay him, and he's going to be with you just in the duration of the operation, right? And then your relationship has broken up. But you become so committed to that doctor's advice, and diagnosis, everything, you say, no, but doctor, whatever you say, we'll do it. Because you know, it's a question of life and death. So you attach so much of importance. So now here, what's required in qiyad and i'tiqad. Strangely, when you look into Rumi Rahmatullah's kitab, Mastawi, right? So the world hasn't produced something like Mastawi. After he's done this, nobody's produced something in the line of the south, right? At that level, nobody. They say also, Al-Bili. Al-Bili means you can't bring something equal to this. Like the Quran Sharif, Bukhari Sharif, the number 3 is Mastawi Sharif, you can't bring it. So Mullah Rum Rahmatullah, he emphasized on two points. One is the lesson of Tawheed. He'll keep repeating it from different dimensions, perspectives, but he'll bring you to the point of Tawheed. And the second point he keeps talking about is the relationship that you need to have with the Shaykh. First of all, I saw this empty, what's going on now, you know? Shaykh in a madrasa, you got a questioning mind. But alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I didn't raise any criticisms or objections. So the man is an imam in the field, he knows it. So our luck is just to listen to him. And as we're moving along the journey, we begin to understand. Now, we are not even pre-primary. And we want to know things at an advanced level. How is it going to happen? So the Shaykh will say certain things. And some things may be agreeable, some things may be not agreeable. But just listen to him with a smile, with a cheer, and you see how enjoyable the whole journey becomes. But the moment you're going to resist, you're going to say something, then you snap the relationship. And you don't know when that relationship is going to be repaired after that. Because Hazrat Ji used to say, a lot of things you begin to understand of Hazrat Ji now. Right? But alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, whatever he said, we believed it. Though it took us time to understand it fully. He says this relationship is such, is so refined, the most refined thing that you can think of is an angel, right? This is more refined than an angel. So you will not do anything to snap or to interrupt the relationship. Not a word, not a behavior, absolutely nothing. I look at one, two incidents. I'll just show, quote one, two incidents that how this relationship is interrupted. They say now this type of people, unki ulti bhi seedhi hoti hai. If it is apparently wrong what they're doing, apparently, not haram, but apparently you can't see the logic in it. That also turns out to be right. Although apparently it doesn't seem right to you, but it's right. Allah will make it right. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu are discussing something. And in the course of the discussion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said something a little bit harsh. The hadith comes in Bukhari Sharif. He said something harsh. So Umar radiallahu anhu was obviously upset. How could he say such a thing to me? And he just left. Now Abu Bakr realized that I said something that was inappropriate. So he pursued Umar to ask him for a maaf. But till that point, Umar was upset. So he went into his house, he just closed the door. Now, on the side of Abu Bakr, look at the consciousness of the hereafter. Consciousness of the hereafter. I must get this sorted out. If I die in this state then, now the man is just closed the door on me now. I can't get the maaf. So the only recourse is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Go there, he will say something or intercede and something will happen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi sees him from the distance and says, this man has come from some trouble, approximately. I don't know the exact words, some trouble. Now, in the meanwhile, Umar radiallahu anhu realized that, you know, I closed the door on the person. It was not the right behavior. It wasn't the right thing. Abu Bakr is Abu Bakr. It wasn't for me to close the door on him. Why did I do this thing here? These people are so sincere, so pure. You can't think. Of the level of purity. It's too much for us. So, as Umar, Abu Bakr is Abu Bakr. He said something. So what? I'm going to be so pulled up. So he goes straight. He's going on Abu Bakr's heels. Abu Bakr's already reached. And then in a few moments, Umar is there. Now, by now, Rasulullah knows what's going on, right? But now, the first sentence of Rasulullah SAW, Al-Tariku li sahibi. Will you people not spare my friend? Al-Tariku li sahibi. Won't you people just spare my friend? Look at the whole scene, right? And he says then, I invited you all towards Allah Ta'ala. You all were reluctant. Mania, he accepted straight away. Abu Bakr, in the meanwhile, is trying to intercede for Umar radiallahu anhu and say, Ya Rasulullah, kusur to mera hi tha. I caused it. Rasulullah is not listening to anything. Al antum tariku li sahibi. My sati, will you just pay him for my sake? See the statement that they make. Unki ulti bhi seedhi ho jati hai. You look at the whole picture now, it would seem like it's Abu Bakr's fault. That's how, if you just look at the reasoning. But now, there are some people that deserve a certain maqam and a certain position. And come what may, disrespect them. Just keep quiet, respect them, don't pull up your face. Therefore, his position. Now, in our context, right, for example, your father or your mother shouted you, right? Must you pull up your face? Yeah? Must you say something? The simplest thing is, even if it was they were wrong, right? Let's put your face down, humble, make mouth. Then, in some other occasions, you know, this is what happened. When she's cool and she's relaxed, she's calm, then you explain that. But at that time, you say, Norma, you listen to all wrong. You don't know what happened. Now, what happens to the mother's heart? What happens to your father's heart at that time? What you're saying is right. You're not saying that what you're saying is wrong. But what happens to her heart? What happens to her feeling? See, unki ulti bhi seedhi ho jati hai. Now, there's an interruption. You can't enjoy the same type of love and affection with your father any longer. Although, I'm talking about something not related to deen. It's related to deen is something else. But it was something other than deen. For example, you didn't fetch that sugar and come. What's wrong with you? You know that we need sugar. I told you about it. Whereas he didn't tell you about it, right? He forgot that. But you didn't tell me about it. So you don't say that. Although what you're saying is right, he didn't tell you. But at that moment, you don't say that. Let this rate pass, and after everything is done, over everything, and you see, you feel that he's in the mood, then you tell him. Otherwise, at that moment, don't even tell him. Otherwise, he'll feel, hey, what is this child is chatting me. How the father feels. just open your minds, right? Open your minds to, and make you understand this thing. See, this relationship is very, very refined. We don't understand it. But we want to progress, but we don't want to follow procedure. Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu is the nephew of Aisha radiallahu anhu, right? This also this also comes in Bukhari Sharif. And repeatedly, these two stories come in. To me, when I read the Bukhari Sharif, I think to myself that Imam Bukhari, like he was a faqih and a muhaddis, you know, part, the level of excellence, but he was also a great Sufi also. But he just looked, you know, like they say, read between the lines, and you'll get it. But just read that, you're not going to get it. If he was a faqih, he was a muhaddis of his time, then he was a great Sufi as well. You can't doubt that. It's just a little bit of nazar, a little bit of thinking, where he's coming in. Why is he coming in like this? What's he saying? So these kitabs, this Bukhari Sharif, Quran Sharif, is not just to be recited. must be a level of ponderance. What my Allah Pak is wanting from me? What he's telling me? What message is delivering to me? Imam Bukhari sahab, what is he conveying to me? Why did he bring this here? Of all places, why did he bring it here? We're just using it now as a reference and to argue and strike points and all that. But to show that this Imam was stronger than that Imam, his points are great. That's not only what Imam Bukhari says, something else also. There's something deep inside. Look into it, you'll find things. So when you read that, you want to learn that sabak, right, you want to read it tomorrow. You read, make takrar of the thing, for mutala of the thing. And then at night you think, alright, I read this page here, this is what the hadith I read. Think of that content, think. So you find a different level of enjoyment. Like as though, you are with the Imam. You feel like as though you're with him. So you're thinking, you gave him your closest attachment to him. So you feel like you're with him. So Abdullah bin Zubair, he saw Aisha, and Aisha was like a stream, you know, flowing stream, coming and going. Well, millions, literally millions are coming every day and they're going. Not stopping. And now she's living a life of austerity. Who can house something only bread? Rug is like, you know, since they were married that time. Old rug, same thing. But if you look at the wealth that's coming in, it didn't change the furniture of the house. Nothing, absolutely no, nothing. Same as it were in the day of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam carrying on. But their own lifestyle is as simple as you can think. Same dry bread or date, whatever. But and wealth is pouring in. Everybody knows it's Ummul Minin. Wealth is pouring in. Things are pouring. They're coming and they're going. Coming and they're leaving. Coming and leaving. So now, Abdullah bin Zubair is the nephew. And he's watched this thing here. And he said, hey, how can she do something like this? She must enjoy also. He's feeling for his aunt, Aisha radiallahu anha, he's feeling. And in that concern, he said, you know, we're going to control her now. We're going to control her. But she can't be doing this. In the meanwhile, Aisha radiallahu anha, Abdullah bin Zubair used to treat Aisha as his mother. That respect, that love, that regards, he gave her that type of a status like his mother, right? So Aisha didn't have any children. So when Aisha heard this, that on the one side you are taking me as my mother, as your mother, and then you make this type of statements, Wallah, I'll not talk to you for the rest of my life. Now when you took Aisha in that maqam, you must respect her that. You're taken as your mother, then she must control your life. Now you want to control her. Okay? So you're reversing the whole thing now. Though his intentions were right. His intentions were not bad. But she's spending and spending and she's not taking care of herself. So that was his concern. His intentions were right, but the way he came out was not in the level of respect that was required. Now here, what happened from that point was everything began to just collapse for Abdullah bin Zubair. See, unki ulti bhi seedhi ho jati hai. Everything is working out, he's got properties, wealth, everything is happening. Everything is just falling apart, everything is falling down. Before everything was just, he was just moving, you know, deen, dunya, everything was just moving. And now he made this statement here, that Aisha radiallahu anha was upset, and then the whole thing began to collapse. He's not seeing that eagerness in deen, in dunya. Nothing is happening, nothing working out. But Aisha has taken an oath that I'll not talk to you. Until he is in a state of pareshani, distress. He's asked someone in the second person, in the third person, intercede on my behalf. Well, I've taken an oath, and I've taken a very solemn oath. I'm not going to break this oath. So somehow he got in, right? Because he was his aunt, somehow he got in, made maaf and all that, and things resumed, right? But you see this point here, The relationship is a very refined relationship, especially with a parental relationship. If it's a sheikh and a murid relationship, it's a very refined thing. In the words of Hazrat Ali, more refined than the malaika. So how careful you must be. And you want this to go and to move, it must just escalate all the time. And we're not looking at the discrepancy, we're not looking at all these things here, but we want that it's always going to move. Now you put a rock in between, that the river was flowing, and a big boulder, you want it to move. Now it's not going to come, now it will come in drips. It's not going to come with its speed, it's not going to come. Because you see this, there's a mental obstruction. That mental obstruction is bringing about this type of a kafiyat, that you're not seeing it, you're not seeing the flow like you used to see it. It's a long topic now, so I'll try and see some of the time.